Thank the Lord for His good word and blessing of music today. Every part of worship really helps us get to know Him better. He speaks to us throughout the service. And I want to tell you this morning a true story. Especially the facts of the story are true, the main facts. Some of the details are more with contemporary application. Things maybe I have experienced in my own life as a Christian, or I've observed in other believers as they've struggled to know Christ and put Him first. So maybe see yourself in the story with me. That's part of what God's Word is. He shows us Himself. We're so happy about that. And then we see ourselves in there and how we're to trust Him. So just a little bit about knowing God's blessing in terms of that He has a dream for our lives, much different than the dreams we would have for ourselves. There was a group of people, true story, who received Christ into their hearts. They did that because they really wanted to go to heaven and be at peace with God. They did not want to go to hell and be apart from God forever. And that was really a great decision they made. Things went well until they started to try to follow Christ, pretty much with their own strength. And because of that, they kept falling down time after time, getting frustrated with trying to live a Christian. They felt in their hearts they couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. And they said, okay, this is not working. We know Jesus saved us. He forgave us from our sins. But we don't know how to follow Him too well. So what we need, Lord, You did Your job. Thank You very much. What we need to help us is a set of rules that we'll follow, make everybody else follow. And if we do these things, then we'll really be on the ball, feel at peace with God again, and be able to follow Him effectively. Well, that sounded like a good idea. In fact, many of the rules were from the Scriptures. The Lord wrote them Himself. You know, His boundary lines, showing His holiness, showing our need. But lo and behold, like all rules, the rule became more important than the rule giver Himself. And so what used to be faith in Christ became faith in Christ and rules, capital R-U-L-E-S, and small C-H-R-I-S-T. And that didn't bring peace either. The same frustration that the folks had trying to follow Christ on their own, they had trying to follow Christ with rules, falling down, falling short again and again. And same merry-go-round, but it wasn't so merry. Even when they would try to follow God's ways in their own strength, when that didn't work, they got down on themselves, became very discouraged, and feeling like God hadn't changed them much. They often felt like they did before they even met Christ. Said, what are we going to do now? They were started to be down on themselves. Of course, started to be down on other people, because what we struggle with, we often see in others. So they would often pound on each other with the rules. Pound on the people who didn't know Christ with the rules. And say, well, at least you ought to straighten out, if I can't straighten out. And that brought no peace either. There was a group at the same time who thought, you know, these rules are such a pain in the neck. Why don't we just believe in Christ and forget about every rule under the sun? Why don't we just do what we feel like in our hearts? God loves everybody. He wants everybody to go to heaven. He wants everybody to know to forgiveness. So why don't we just follow Christ and do what we want to do, follow our own desires? Well, you could pretty much predict what would happen when that occurred. A lot of self-destructive behavior and a lot of things that were not right with the Lord. Paul gave a description about that when he said, when you follow these ways, it ends in an empty lifestyle. He listed selfishness, hatred, envy, immorality. It became really a biography of what a heart is like without God's guidance. Even by saying, Christ, save me. Without His guidance, without Him being on the throne of our hearts, we're going to end up in self-destructive behavior. Well, the story that's sad but true is really a story of a church that's not too awful like unlike any other believer or church might meet, and that was the church of Galatians, the Galatian church. They were a group of believers just like you and I. They really trusted Christ. These were believers, by the way. They weren't lost folks confused about, you know, whether how to be at peace with God. They trusted Christ. They were leaning on other things beside the Lord to help them be healthy and to help them walk in a whole manner. And when we read parts of God's Word, it's real important for us to know, you know, He wrote those examples in the Scripture for us, not because they'd be so much different than us that we couldn't relate to them at all, but they're really a picture of what an average Christian may go through on any given day or any given week. We could be like the Galatians. I find myself being a Galatian very often, wanting more rules, saying, man, I can't live up to them, sweeping all the rules away and saying, let me just do what I want, and neither produces much effective discipleship with the Lord. So the Lord gives us the book of Galatians to say, hey, there's a better way for us, a better dream, that He knows we need help following Him as much as we needed help receiving Him and receiving the forgiveness of sins. So if your walk with the Lord sounds a little bit like the Galatian person, and again, any of us are susceptible to these patterns, God has good news for us. He gives us Jesus as Savior, but He also gives us Himself as the ability to live a new life. And that's what I want as a believer. I don't know about you. I do want to go to heaven, for sure. And I have to say that was the motivation for me receiving Christ. I knew in my heart I just was not at peace with God. But while I go to heaven, I don't want to be miserable by trying to walk with the Lord myself, or I don't want to live like I'm going to hell. I want Jesus to be more than a fire insurance policy for me. I want Him to really be somebody who changes my life. And He offers that up to us in the person of Himself and His Holy Spirit. So if you've tasted and seen the Lord is good and appreciate His forgiveness, amen. But if you're like me sometimes and we forget that He can provide a new way to live too in a new heart, then we look to Him and His Holy Spirit to provide that for us. And I just ask you this morning to consider these things about your walk, just like Paul had to do with the Galatians. And we're right in there with him. We say, Lord, here we are, the Galatians. We want to hear Your good word. First thing we could do in our walk with God, if we sense a lack of closeness to Him or relating too much by rules or license, is to do this. Lord, before You, we confess to You where we're at with You. Just let the Holy Spirit do a good inventory of your walk. Do you have a love for people that's of Christ? Do you have a love for God's ways that's of Him too? You know, not in a manner that you want to lash out at other people, but really you use His ways as a mirror for your own heart to see where you're at with Him. Confess where you're at with the Lord. You might confess, Lord, I wanted to go to heaven, but I didn't want to necessarily follow You, because I didn't know what that would be involved in. I'm used to the way I am. It fits me well. I'm not sure I want to change. One of the biggest lies we believe when we open ourselves up to God is the lie that says, I think I can run my own life better than the Lord can't. So even though I want to go to heaven, I want to be in charge, because it's too scary to surrender everything to Him. That's a lie, but we all believe that pretty readily. And the second thing we do sometime when we talk to God about where we're really at, we often say, Lord, I do want to follow You, because there's obviously good things about knowing Christ. I mean, He was kind, loving, and truthful. Well, what a pattern to be stamped on our heart. But at the same time, we see where Jesus ended up. Well, He ended up at the cross. He ended up dead. Now, His life was taken away. Whew. He gave it up willingly for sure, for the forgiveness of sins. If I follow Christ, I say He saved me from my sins. If I follow Him, I'll probably end up at the cross too. I'll end up in a way experiencing death that naturally I wouldn't choose on my own. But Jesus wants me to follow Him there. And at the cross of Christ, if we can see ourselves as just, okay, I'll be dead to my own self. Dead to living my life on my own. That's where a change could take place. That's where a power would come that I wouldn't have on my own. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, He'd have never rose from the dead. And if you and I don't go to God and say, Lord, I think I need to die to myself, just like if I would volunteer to die physically, die to myself, Lord, when we do that with the Lord, that's when He comes and brings a new life with Him and a new ability. So would you talk to the Lord about where you're at with Him and be open to that? Many would try to say, well, I'd rather run my own life. But really, without the Lord, are any of us running our own lives very well? Even folks who don't believe in the Lord have enough truth from God and integrity to say, we sense we need help. And I think believers can do that too. If we trust in Christ for salvation, we want to say, we need help to live like Jesus wants us to live. And it's no shame to die to yourself. Jim Elliot, who was a missionary, said this. Think about your own life and you're trying to rule it. He said, he's no fool to give up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. No fool to give up what he can't keep. Are you really that much in control of your life that you think everything's terrific? Or would you rather give up what you can't keep to gain what you can't lose? Christ, Lord of your life, as you'd surrender to Him. I remember trying to drive a tractor one time, cutting someone's grass. I'm not very mechanical, so I was messing it up pretty good, both the tractor and the grass. And the owner of the tractor is looking at me like, should I even work with you? But he said, stop and get off that tractor seat and let me show you. And he drives the tractor. And oh, what a better time. You know, what a better employee I was to let him be in charge of what he needed to be in charge of. And that's where our hearts are with the Lord too. Let Him be in charge. Confess, Lord, I need You. Do that inventory in my heart. One time I prayed, I don't think I shared with this bunch about this prayer time. One time I prayed to the Lord, just thinking about where I was, not feeling excessively rotten or anything else. I just prayed to the Lord, Lord, I'm glad to be a Christian, but I don't think I love You very much. I do love a whole lot of other things. And I felt like the Lord was saying back to me, okay, I knew that, but what about me do you find so unlovable? And may the Holy Spirit speaks that to us today about Jesus. What about Jesus do we find so unlovable that we hesitate to surrender to Him? Because the fact of the matter is, we do surrender our lives to somebody, don't we? We either surrender to our peer group, because we think, I need to at least fit in with them. Or we surrender to whatever's going on in commercial America around us. We know that doesn't work as an answer to life's problems. Or we surrender to ourselves and say, hey, give me the reins again. And that's a dead-end street. But the Lord, being a great Creator and Savior, when we see His life, don't you look in the Scripture and say, now that's where it's at. Jesus knew how to live, and He'd like to take up residence in our hearts and live like that through us. So we confess to God exactly where we're at. Second, I think the Scripture encourages us to surrender our dreams for God's dreams. This is very painful, but He invites us all to do this. Each of us have dreams, would like to attain and accomplish certain things in our lives. I had dreams as somebody who didn't know Christ. I have dreams as somebody who does know Christ. As somebody who did not know Christ, about 99% of my dreams didn't happen the way I thought. They just crumbled. Because the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. So we should all know that. If we're trying to live our lives without God, the castle's coming down. And so some of the dreams came true, and even the ones who did, they were bad for me. I messed up. Even as a Christian, I have dreams that I think I'm going to do for the Lord. They end up crashing too, because they're not necessarily the Lord's dreams for me. He has better dreams for us than our own. You know, there's a reason why things don't work out in our lives the way we plan. There's a providential reason for that. Because God has another plan that's better. And sometimes as a Christian, I ask for God to confirm my dreams, and He says, no. I'm mad initially, but I'm glad in the long run. Some grandparents and parents, you know, don't you just love to give your children whatever they want all the time? Some of you are trying that. It's not working. Some of you have tried that and see the disaster that it creates. Same thing with the Lord. He's not there to give us what we want. He's to give us a heart that wants what He wants. So to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever dreams I have for my life, vocationally, friendships, family life, I surrender them to You. I will mess it up unless they're Your dreams. And I heard a testimony of a fella who is a preacher on the other side of Pittsburgh who told his story, giving up his dreams for the Lord's dreams. He loved soccer, and he was passionate about soccer. Everything was soccer. Went to soccer practice early, came home from soccer practice late. He stayed, the last one to leave the field. Walking home from soccer practice, he would get a little rock or something, and he would kick it on the way home like a soccer ball. He would put it on his knee and kick the stone like soccer players kick a ball. And if he would see a leaf on a tree, he would headbutt the leaf like he would be hitting a soccer ball. Soccer, he loved soccer, passionate about it. Some folks are, we identify with that as sports fans with the NFL season right upon us here. But he came to grips with his life and saw, well, I think life is more important than soccer. So he received Christ and wanted to put Christ first in his life. He surrendered to Christ. Lord, You take the driver's seat. Give me Your dreams, soccer or no soccer. He stayed on the soccer team, but he brought his Bible one day to school just because he wanted to read it, not to make a big deal about himself or his new walk. And somebody said, what are you reading the Bible for? He said, I'm into Christ. You know how young people talk. And his friend said, what do you mean you're into Christ? And the man thought, and he said, well, I'm into Christ like I'm into soccer. And that spoke volumes to his friend. That spoke volumes to his own heart. That he was willing to surrender his life to Christ and say, Lord, I want You to be everything to me. And we're a little bit afraid of that. And again, because we think we could do it better, we cannot do it better. To surrender to Him and say, Lord, Paul would say, help us to walk by Your Spirit, not to walk the way we want to walk. It's a big change, but it's a good change. We could kiss our selfish life goodbye when we say, Lord, I surrender to You. And when you look at Galatians, that passage that John read, there's two descriptions there. One is a description of our life in charge of itself. And I was rereading through the list as John read it. And it starts out with sexual immorality and ends up in drunkenness and some other bad thing. And when we went through that list, I was thinking, I've pretty much done every one of those things, except maybe witchcraft, you know. I'm thinking, that is my life without Christ. Couldn't be any more clear than that. If I'm on number one in my life, that's where it's going to end up. And then it offers the alternative, a life led by God. God becomes our life, lives His life through us. the character of Christ begins to be seen in your life. Hey, I see the patience of God in you. The joy, kindness, and faithfulness, and all those things. That's a surrendered life to God that the Lord offers to us. He does want to take rightful place in us. Third thing to put before the Lord, I think, is to ask the Lord each day to fill us with Himself. Because we can't live a surrendered life in our own strength. Just say, Lord, please today, fill me with Yourself so that You're in charge and I am not. And God will be faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says He will do it. We can't do it on our own. And He who begins a good work in us will carry it to completion. God's not going to leave us a half-completed, disciple of His. He'll keep working on us. So be patient with yourself. If you feel like getting selfish again or rebellious against the Lord, say, Lord, I put You first each day, and God will be faithful. And the fourth thing I think is important for us in the church, we're always looking for shortcuts in the church. The church has become a very efficient, well-run, smooth-operating group of believers, much to our discredit sometime, that we say, well, that's the way the Christian life must be. Just, we got it down. We got the flow chart of sanctification in place. Lord said, there's no shortcuts to a life with Christ. No shortcuts to holy living. It's with Him every day. And there's struggle, and there's surrender, and there's the cross. There's also victory, His presence, His promises, and rejoicing. A new gal one time, dear person, leader in the church, very effective speaker, does evangelistic and all kind of good counseling work. She was just having a pretty rough time just being an effective Christian at home. This is up in Erie County where we came from. And so she just cried out one day to the Lord. She said, Lord, I don't feel like I'm very effective as a follower of Yours right where I live. No. Lord, I don't love my husband and I don't love my children. She just kind of blurted that out in her devotions. And she felt like God was saying again to her, okay, dear, I know. You can't do it yourself. And she prayed to the Lord, Lord, please love people through me. Make me the kind of person You want me to be. And she felt like God began to work in her life. She stopped trying to straighten out her husband. She had a new love and commitment to her children in terms of discipline. And she felt like the Lord took over the driver's seat, at least in her heart. And did her family turn into a Leave It to Beaver family overnight with some sanctification there? No. But when her heart changed, she started to see some changes in her dearest loved ones. And that because she wasn't willing to take any shortcuts to a holy walk with God. Depended on Him every day and surrendered to Him. And the Lord offers that to us because He's gracious. When we don't take His way like that, we're the Galatian church deja vu all over again. It's easy to get that way. Be merciful to yourself if you feel you're that way. Some of us still think the rules are where it's at. If we just get the right commandments down, we're gonna be the best believers we can be. The rules will help, but it's a surrender to Him and say, Lord, just like You forgave me, please today make me a new person. He'll set us apart day after day if we want that in our hearts. And just have a quiet prayer time now. And wherever you're at with the Lord, remember what He wants. He wants that honest confession. He'd like to exchange some dreams with you today. Leave the ones that aren't working out with Him. They're going to crash and burn anyway. take His dreams for you. Surrender to Him. Ask Him to fill you with Himself. And take no shortcuts to holiness. Just live by His Spirit, as Paul said. And let the Lord be in the driver's seat of your heart. Let's pray as He speaks to each one. Jesus, thank You for Your truth of Your Word. We live by the sinful nature, Lord, even as believers. And we are not even happy going to heaven. How could that be a part of our lives? Father, there's a proper sadness and grief when we know we're not right with You. Pray that that would work in hearts this morning and on a regular basis. But also, Father, there's great rejoicing in repentance and in the surrender to You. Lord, I know in my own life, I'd gladly testify, I've never been happy in sin, and I've never been unhappy with a surrendered heart. So, we're not here to seek for happiness, Lord, but we are here to put our hearts before You. So, for each dear person, Father, might Jesus be set apart as number one in our hearts. Give us a love for Yourself so we could say like that young person, I'm into Jesus. As much as I would confess any passion for anything, that our hearts would be surrendered to You. May Your gracious Holy Spirit move in each one here today. And if any needs surrender to You, Father, might it be done before they leave this blessed holy room. And might You bless us as we go, so we don't think our accounts with You have been all settled in a matter of moments. But we did take a first step, and You'll walk with us the rest of the way. So be Yourself among us, Father. Be Yourself through us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.